Now, for this evening, could you turn to the Gospel of Mark and chapter 10 of that Gospel? And we're going to read together Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, and reading from verse 35 down to the end of the chapter. Mark chapter 10 and at verse 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto Jesus, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand, and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and said unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus the son of Timaeus sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Last week in our time together, we looked at that great miracle of John chapter 11, where our Lord Jesus Christ raised that man Lazarus from the dead after Lazarus had lain in his tomb for 4 days. As we said at the time last week, you remember, all of the miracles which our Lord Jesus Christ performed while he was in this world for that period of time were authentic miracles. That is, they were real miracles that were performed on real people who suffered from real conditions, and they produced real results in the lives of those people concerned on whom our Lord wrought those miracles. When he laid his hands upon someone or spoke his word to someone, then the result of the miraculous work that he was performing was a real result in the lives of those people. So it was, of course, in the case of that man Lazarus. You remember we said that when our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, one of the ways that he would be recognized as the Messiah, the Christ who was to come, was by the performing of signs and wonders which his Father would give him to do. And so as our Lord Jesus Christ went about doing good, as the Apostle Peter says, healing all who were oppressed of the devil and so on. Those works that he performed were not only works of great compassion, which of course they were, of course, as he performed them on those people, but they were works of great confirmation as to who he was. He was none other than the Son of the living God indeed, the one who had come into the world to save men and women from their sins. That's what the miracles were in the first place, and our first understanding of the miracles to our souls. However, that's not the whole story. And again, as we said last week, each and every one of those physical conditions that those people suffered from and which our Lord performed his work on have their spiritual counterparts which Christ takes on to deal with in the gospel that he had come into the world to procure. When he raised that dead man Lazarus from his deadness, what an illustration that is, my friends, of those gospel facts. First of all, concerning our condition, that we are dead in trespasses and sins, but then, of course, that it is Christ who raises the dead. And you hath he quickened, you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. A physical miracle there was, stupendous miracle it was, that Christ performed. But the greatest miracle of all is when he raises dead sinners out of their deadness in the gospel of his grace. Christ made the dead to live, and the deaf to hear, and the blind to see, and the dumb to speak. And as he did all of those things in the physical confirmation of his messiahship, they are also illustrations of the gospel that he had come to bring as the Messiah, as the Christ of God indeed. Well then, in our time together for this evening, I want this simply to continue along those lines. That is, to take up another one of Christ's miracles that he performed as an illustration of the gospel to our hearts and our souls. I'm sure it's a familiar miracle. We won't be all the worse off for that fact, of course. And it's when our Lord gave sight to that blind man, Bartimaeus, outside the walls of the city of Jericho. So very simply then, three straightforward things, either in the application of the gospel to our souls or stirring up of our hearts and our minds, if we know that gospel indeed, the workings of the gospel in our lives. So Bartimaeus then, in his condition, and then in his actions, and then in his sight. Those three straightforward things. And just a few words really with regards to Bartimaeus and his condition, because I suppose in a sense his condition is very straightforward. He's called blind Bartimaeus, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Bartimaeus was blind. And again, when it comes to a spiritual condition illustrated in the physical condition of Bartimaeus, apart perhaps, and I don't know if it's right to be relative even, but apart from that illustration of our deadness in Lazarus, perhaps there's no other greater illustration of our spiritual condition with regards to the things of Christ than the condition of spiritual blindness. The Word of God says, eyes we have, but we see not. We neither see aright, nor perceive aright, or comprehend aright the things of the Lord our God in our lives. And the reason for that, the Bible makes abundantly clear, is the spiritual blindness that we suffer from, the spiritual scales that form themselves upon our eyes right from the womb, and will be with a person all the days of their life unless Christ comes and removes those scales and deals with that blindness. Eyes that see not. Blind Bartimaeus, you see, had eyes, you would say, of a sort. As he would perhaps open up his eyelids, there would be those orbs that would be in those sockets, but in reality, they were no use whatsoever to that blind man. He could open up the lids. If you looked within them, all that you would see would be those lifeless orbs, as I say, within those sockets. His eyes were blinded. His eyes were lifeless. His eyes were dead. And as I say, if you consult the Word of God, which I'm sure you do, but my friend, if you haven't, consult the Word of God. And when the Bible takes on to speak about our spiritual condition before the God with whom we have to do, one of the ways in which it speaks about that condition is our spiritual blindness before the God with whom we have to do indeed. So as Christ comes to deal with this man, he's a blind man, and as our Lord takes on to perform that miracle, it's a lovely miracle of compassion, it's a miracle of confirmation, but it's a miracle of illustration with regards as to how Christ works in the gospel, and indeed how we are to realize the gospel in the course of our lives. He was blind Bartimaeus, and Bartimaeus was blind, and by nature, each and every one of us suffers from that condition. We are blind before the face of the Lord our God. Yet that's not the whole story, because of course in the gospel record that we're given here, it's not just that Bartimaeus was a blind man, but Bartimaeus was a blind beggar. And you see, that just heaps up the condition and the illustration of our condition by nature before the Lord our God. You see, there's a world of difference between a blind man and a blind beggar. A blind man might live surrounded by friends, surrounded by servants, live in his own home, live in richness and opulence. He may be blind, but he may have all of those advantages, as you might say, in his life, regardless or despite his blindness. But Bartimaeus wasn't like that. Bartimaeus wasn't only blind. Bartimaeus was a blind beggar. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, it says, who sat by the highway side begging. When the Word of God, you see, sets out to describe what we're like, not in our own estimation, but in the estimation of the God who made us and the God with whom we have to deal, you take note of how God describes us as he sees us. We'll see in a moment that we have kind of eyes, but as God sees by his eyes what we're like, we're exactly in the condition that Bartimaeus was like physically when it comes to our spiritual condition before the Lord our God. My friend, aren't you glad that God opened your eyes? Don't you see? Now you're able to see what you were like. And now being able to see what you were like, thank God for what he has now made you to be, because until we realize what we were like, we will never fully or really be thankful for what God has made us to be in the gospel of the grace of his Son. So very simply then, when you look at the condition of Bartimaeus, here was his condition. He was, of course, a blind man, but over and above that, he was a blind beggar. Now, what about his actions? And it's his actions, really, that I want us to concentrate on, because in the actions of Bartimaeus and in the attitude of heart and mind of Bartimaeus that day, there are so many things that stand as pointers to the workings of the gospel taking place in a man or a woman or a young person's heart and mind. In the work of the gospel, of course, those things that Bartimaeus acts towards can be instantaneous sometimes in a person's heart and mind. The grace of God begins to work in a soul, my friends. Then all of that exercising of faith in Christ, all of that can be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But for this evening, I simply want us to trace out those steps, as it were, those actions on the part of that blind man, and see indeed how they are to serve as illustrations for us in the gospel, perhaps leaning especially to the responsibility side of the gospel, as Bartimaeus, all under the grace of God, of course, but as Bartimaeus acts in the way that he does, great illustrations of those steps in the gospel that bring a man or a woman to salvation in Jesus Christ the Savior. Well then, first of all, with regards to his actions or his attitude or whatever, first and foremost, Bartimaeus knew his condition and was acutely aware of his condition. And doesn't that come across so well as it does in verse 51, as of course he comes to the Lord at that point, and Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." What a lovely word that is, my friends. And you see, dear old Bartimaeus, my friends, knew what his condition was, or had become, if you like, you want to speak about the sovereignty of God and the grace of God, had come to that position, if you like, under God's grace. He knew his condition. And so he came to the Lord with that one pressing necessity in his heart and in his soul. Think of what Christ was setting before him. What do you want me to do? You see, in a sense, that was an open invitation that could have stretched right into eternity itself. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? But Bartimaeus had only one thing that he wanted Christ to do for him, and that was give him back his sight that he might see perhaps again, or see for the first time. And of course with that, when he would have received his sight, all the change of life that would have come about with that, change of status and standing, no longer would he have been a beggar. Then he would have been able perhaps to take up an occupation or whatever. But you see, he knew, was acutely aware of what his condition was, what his great need was, and as Christ gave him the opportunity to ask for one thing, he asked for the one thing needful, and that was that he would receive his sight. And oh, my friends, in the work of the gospel, all the complacency on the part of men and women, the refusal perhaps, or whatever, the unawareness, whatever you want to say, of the great need that they have. And what we pray for is that men and women and young people would become as aware of their condition and their need as blind Bartimaeus became and knew his condition and his need. Lord, he says, that I might receive my sight. You see, as I said earlier on, there is a sense in which we do have eyes, apart from our physical eyes, spiritual eyes, in that broader sense of that word spiritual. And the good man Solomon, of course, speaks about something of those kinds of eyes that we have by nature. And he says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. You see, and when men and women and young people by nature look at themselves, what they see with those eyes that they have is not their condition before God or their need before God. What they see, my friends, is themselves. And as they look with those eyes on themselves, well, everything is fine and dandy with them as they look at themselves with their own eyes. And by the grace of God, of course, what has to take place is this, that those eyes have to be opened up in such a way that they see as God sees. All the ways of a man, says Solomon, are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the heart. And when God comes and shows us the heart, it's then that we begin to see that we're not clean and our ways are not clean in the eyes of the Lord our God. You remember that man Paul And those famous words well known to us. And he says, I was alive without the law once. And as Paul lived and endeavoured to keep all the law of God onto the righteousness that he knew, at least Paul knew he needed a righteousness to stand before God, but he tried to procure that righteousness by the works of the law. And he says, I was alive. He said, they've never struck me, he said, that I was anything other than preparing myself to stand before God by my righteousness. But, he says, then the law came, not just in the letter, but in the spirit, and sin revived, and I died. You see, I was clean in my own eyes until the Lord touched my heart, showed me what the law was all about, and I died. You remember Pontius Pilate? You remember how he came out before the people that day? And he says, take him. He literally washed his hands. And he said, take him and crucify him. I am clean of the blood of this man. What an arrogant, ignorant statement. He had just delivered up the Lord of glory to be crucified. When he said to Christ, I have power to crucify thee, or I have power to release thee, in that lower sense, he had the power to do that. He was the Roman procurator. He could have done that, humanly speaking. How on earth could he have thought himself to be clean of the blood of this man? And no wonder then the old epitaph that he has is this concerning Christ, that he suffered under Pontius Pilate. And oh, my friends, you see, we're to see aright, not as being clean, but as being unclean in the eyes of the Lord our God. And you know who it is, of course, who blinds the eyes. It's the old serpent, the devil. The old serpent, the devil. You know, maybe we're caught up with the war at the moment, the Second World War. You know what was done during the war? They removed all the signposts in the country so the people didn't know where they were going. If you remember back when you tried to find a place, unless you knew your way to the place, there were no signposts to point you anywhere. That's what the devil does, you see. God gives us all of these signposts in his word to point us up to who we are and what we are, our condition, our standing, our status before him. But along comes the devil and removes the signposts or turns the signposts the other way. It is the prince of this world, says the apostle, who hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. We are able to see in that sense, but what we see is not the condition that we're in that we should see. We see the very opposite of that, and all the ways of a man are clean in his own. And that's not just a truth that comes once in the pages of the Word of God. Later on, even in the book of Proverbs, it says, there every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. And you see, the Lord comes and speaks as he does, my friends, and we're to listen to what he says. So, as far as his condition is concerned, straightforward words with regards to illustration. Bartimaeus was blind, and he was a blind beggar. As far as his actions are concerned, then indeed, first and foremost, he was acutely aware of the condition that he was in. And my friend, as the old hymn says, I know not how the Spirit moves convincing men of sin, but you be convinced by the Spirit of God this night of your condition before the Lord your God, that you're in this spiritual condition that Bartimaeus was in physically, and you need the touch of the Lord to bring you out of that condition. You see, another fact of the gospel in the miracle of the healing of blind Bartimaeus is this, which brings us to the heart of the gospel, in fact, my friends, is that the gospel comes to us by faith alone in Christ alone. You see, Isn't it a touching thing in a sense that Bartimaeus never saw Christ? Now, he saw him, of course, after Christ opened up his eyes to see him. But up to that point where he comes knowing his condition to Christ, he had never seen Christ. He had only heard of Christ. And that's something to hold on to when you're thinking of a miracle illustrative of the gospel. In all probability, he would have heard how Christ had opened the eyes of other blind people. And now, as he is passing by, he heard what was happening. He asked people what was happening, we're told in another gospel, and the people tell him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. But the point is, he only heard about Christ. He never saw Christ. And that's something to take into account when you deal with the human heart and the many excuses that the human heart produces. And you'll know yourself that there are many people who will come to you and they'll say, well, if I could only see Jesus, you see. If I only lived on the earth, on the days when Christ lived on the earth, and those people were able to see him, then I would believe in him. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Because everyone who ever saw Christ with the physical eye were never saved by seeing Christ with the physical eye, but only with the spiritual eye. And only when their eyes were opened to see him and know him for who he was. That lovely word, when John and Andrew go and find Peter, and they say, Peter, we have found the Messiah. Their eyes had been opened up, my friend, and they saw in that one not just a man who had come from Nazareth. They saw in that one none other than the Messiah, the Christ of the living God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you this night stand in the self-same position in that sense that blind Bartimaeus stood in. Bartimaeus didn't see Christ. Bartimaeus heard of Christ. But when he heard of Christ and that it was Christ that was passing by, then he took the action in the light of what he heard. Can I say this? In that sense, every time the gospel's preached, every time someone testifies or speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, in that sense, Christ is passing by. You see? Just as he was passing by outside the walls of Jericho that day, Christ is passing by. And when a man or a woman or a young person comes to know their condition before, and the one is passing by in that sense who they believe can meet that condition because they have heard that he has met that self-same condition in others, then they address him in the way that Bartimaeus addressed him in the spiritual. Lord, that I might receive my sight. Have you got it? Get the whole picture. Get what the Lord has given to you in his word. Learn the gospel in the many, many ways that the Lord has granted us his word to our souls. And this Bartimaeus then, who knew his condition, heard of Christ passing by, and accordingly would look to Christ to meet that condition and grant him the great need of his life, that he would receive his sight. Now you see something else about Bartimaeus in his actions and in his attitudes towards Christ as the one he was going to ask that sight from, and it's this: he knew and believed that he could give him his sight. Now we shouldn't miss that. As I said, you have that scene where Bartimaeus hears about Christ passing by, that general picture. There's a whole hubbub, you can imagine. There were people following Christ at that point as well as his disciples. He asks, in fact, another gospel record tells us what's happening, and somebody tells him Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Now, when Bartimaeus makes his request to the Lord, he doesn't call him Jesus of Nazareth. Who's passing by, he says, Jesus of Nazareth. But then in verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, they don't want him to cry out. Many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. It's a strange miracle, the miracle of the healing of blind Bartimaeus, because there is so much faith mixed up in it on the part of Bartimaeus. And here you see when he calls our Lord Jesus Christ, not by the name that he has been told, Jesus of Nazareth, but by this name, Jesus, thou son of David. He's calling Christ Messiah. Because in a real sense, the great title for Christ as Messiah was son of David. David's greater son. And you see how he makes that equation. Jesus of Nazareth heals the blind. Who can heal the blind but God's Messiah? Hadn't he come to heal the sick and lead the poor and give sight to the blind? And that lofty estimation, my friends, that that old blind beggar had of Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You know, that comes always to a heart and a soul in the words of the Lord himself. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he, my friend? What do you think of Jesus Christ? Who do you think he is? What do you think he's come into this world to do? And blind Bartimaeus, my friends, for all the blindness of his eyes, had indeed sight in his heart to know that the one who was passing by, Jesus of Nazareth, was none other than the son of David. And by token of that, he knew that he would receive from the one that he was asking sight, that he would receive his sight. And something else you see in the blind man, as we knew the one who, as he knew the one who could meet his condition, he knew what was required from that one, you say, for him to give him his sight. But Bartimaeus, my friends, was, well, he held a biblical gospel, if you like, in his heart. And you see how he cries to the Lord. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And when they told him to be quiet, charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. My friend, the gospel of God's grace is the gospel of God's mercy to sinners. And I say this bluntly in these days in which we live, that what is required for men and women is to come and seek the mercy of God. Who do we think we are, my friend, that we'll come and offer some kind of a joint venture with God for our salvation? No, no. That dear old blind soul had the root of the matter. He knew the great need of his life, but he knew what would lie at the heart of Christ granting him the meeting of that need. It would be the mercy of the Son of David, the Christ of the living God. Lovely line in one of Isaac Watt's old hymns, where he speaks about almighty mercy. You see? And that's what it is. That's what the gospel is. It's mercy, my friends, to sinners dead in trespasses and sins. And so you get that part of the scene, lovely part of the scene, is it not? Where those people then round about, many charged him that he should hold his peace. Be quiet, quiet, Bartimaeus. You're an embarrassment. He couldn't have cared less. They weren't blind. He was blind. They didn't think they needed mercy. He knew he needed mercy, my friends. And when a man or a woman or a young person is conscious of their condition and their need of mercy, it doesn't matter much if they upset a few people with regards to things of social nature in this world. Can you hear them? Get yourself there outside the walls of the street of Jericho, my friends. Get the flesh and blood into the revealed word of God. And can't you hear? Shh! Hush! Hush, Nicodemus. Bartimaeus. No, no, he says, I need the mercy. And he cried out the more, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And don't overlook the effect of that cry that you get there in verse 47. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. Now there's an amazing verse. Jesus stood still. Powerful word, my friends, but be sure of this, that in the wholeness of the gospel, when a sinner cries for mercy, Christ will stop and listen to that cry. That's what the gospel tells us, and tells us over and over and over again, if they will call, I will hear. And when Bartimaeus cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me, Jesus stood still. And what follows on from that, of course, my friends, you remember, that the Lord then called for him and so on. But again, in an application of the gospel, my friends, let me say this. Perhaps, I don't know the workings of the Spirit of God, as I've said in our heart, but perhaps Christ is passing by tonight. And what you do by the grace of God, cry out and he'll stop. You see, maybe Bartimaeus knew this. He's passing by now. I have no guarantee that he will pass this way again. And he cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. Then you get all those lovely scenes that come after that, of course, in the verses, verse 49. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and they call the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. And don't lose the significance of that either. That garment that he wore was a beggar's cloak. And there's the faith, you see. Christ hasn't yet, in fact, given him his sight. When he gets his sight back, he'll no longer be blind, so he won't have to be a beggar. But already, he throws away his beggar's cloak. Because he has believed that the one to whom he has applied for the receiving of his sight, the Messiah, is able to give him his sight. And of course, isn't that a lovely illustration too of what we are clothed in by nature? My. The estimation that people have of their clothing before God by nature. I'll tell you what that clothing is. in the light of God's word, it's beggar's robes. Beggar's robes. And in a person coming to Christ, they throw away their beggar's robes, that they receive the clothing that he will give. So my friends, blind Bartimaeus, and he comes now, and he comes before the Lord with that one great request. Jesus answered and said unto him, verse 51, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." That's all. That's all he asks. You know, it's an amazing thing how an immediate awareness of our need greatly minimizes our talking. It's not a fact, you see. You remember dear old Peter when he was sinking in the water and he's got the minimum of words. "Lord," he says, "save me." Now, he didn't stop, you see, to have a dispute about how a solid body displaces a liquid and so on. No, no. Got no interest in those theoretical things. He says, "Lord, save me." And as you read through the Bible, my friends, you get that same thing over and over and over again. "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, save me, I perish. Lord, that I might receive my sight." He knew what he needed. He knew Christ could give him that need. And indeed, the Lord, say reverently, doesn't disappoint him in any way. And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Doesn't hesitate in his request. And Christ doesn't hesitate in granting him that request. Dear old Matthew Henry says, "The plaster is as wide as the wound." You see, doesn't matter what the condition is. Christ can cover that condition, my friends. And he does it with that man. Lovely miracle. And as the people try to hush that man, he knows his need, persists in that need before the Lord, and the Lord meets the need, touches the man by his grace and his mercy, and the man is made whole. There's a lovely old poem, concerns an old violin. Maybe you know it, but let me just read it to you anyway. "'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bidden, good folk?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar, then two, only two, $2. Who'll make it three? Going for three." But no, from the room far back, a grey-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then, wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loosened strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as a caroling angel sings. Music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "Now, what am I bid for the old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. $1,000. "And who'll make it two? $2,000. Who'll make it three? 3,000 once, 3,000 twice, and going and gone," cried he. People cheered, but some of them said, "We fail to understand. What changed the worth?" Quick came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." Many a man with his life out of tune, and battered and scarred with sin, is auctioned cheap to a thoughtless world, much like the old violin. But the Saviour comes, and the foolish world is so slow to understand the worth of a soul and the change that's worked by the touch of the master's hand. You see? Blind Bartimaeus, the beggar, wasn't worth anything. Hush, be quiet, Bartimaeus. But he cried the more, and Jesus stood still and said, "What will you have me to do?" And he says, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And he said, "Receive thy sight." What did he do with his sight? Here's the hub of the matter. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. A lovely word. You know, that man, if he'd ever seen anything, whether he had become blind or whatever, but you think of that man. He could see now. Think of what he might have wanted to see. Going to Jericho. The wonders of Jericho, the buildings, the people that... No. He said, with these eyes, I'm going to follow him. And he followed Jesus in the way. My friends, that's a fine conclusion, you see, as that man takes up that new position of a follower of Jesus Christ the Savior. How do you know when somebody has received their sight from Christ? They follow Christ. How do you know when a person belongs to Christ's sheepfold? I've said before, by their ears and by their feet. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. You don't have to give much thought to what constitutes a believer, my friend. Somebody who follows the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel is all about. And as the Lord has wrought that miracle illustrative of the gospel in that blind beggar that day, who then casts away his beggar's robe and comes and follows Christ. That's what the gospel is all about. It's an illustration of the gospel to our hearts and to our souls. May we know it, rejoice in it this night, my friend. You see your condition, and the one who alone can meet that condition while he is passing by. Tonight, in the gospel of his grace.